Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yes, indeed. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Rob, we talked about last hour in trolling or rolling, whether or not we like, you know, we think it's a good idea for your average Joe to watch a game with the sound down. Now, I do have to amend that. We both thought, no, we like watching the game with sound, hearing the broadcasters. But I'm going to amend that a little bit. Because I do believe, Rob, I do believe we have people that watch the games and listen to our show while they're watching the game. I think that, and it may not just be our show, you know. It may be another show. So I get that, because you're still listening to sports. You know, it still got you in that frame of mind, but you're able to watch your game. So, and I'm not just saying this because it's us. You know, I think that I get that.
I'm thinking of it this way, that you're watching the game, but you're not doing anything else, and you turn the sound down. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're just sitting there.
You're just sitting there, and you're
focused on the game.
Right, that's what I mean. Obviously, if you're doing something else, people do more than one thing.
But you get what I'm saying, because I do think we get people like that.
No, I
think there's some people got the games on right now, and they're listening to our show. And I dig that. Now, and again, it don't have to be us. It could be Jason Smith and Mike Harmon after us. You know what I mean?
No, it's got to be us. I'm sorry.
All right. We got Showtime Sean Porter, two-time welterweight boxing champion, coming up in about 15 minutes to break down. I told you, look, if you are a boxing fan, you might not be hardcore. You might not be Teddy Atlas hardcore. You might just be a casual fan that loves to see a great fight every now and then. You have to check it out. Teofimo Lopez, this hot young phenom, talks a lot of trash. His dad talks all this trash. He does backflips in the ring after he wins. He's knocking dudes out left and right, fighting Vasily Lomachenko, who is the longtime champion. Now, they only got 15 fights each, but Lomachenko had like 400 amateur fights and only lost one. And he redeemed himself from that loss twice in the pros. So he's 32 years old. He's the veteran, savvy, great technician. It's going to be a great fight. And so if you like boxing, trust me, check it out. But we're going to have Showtime Sean Porter break it down. And then, of course, our man, the big man on campus in Las Vegas, Lamar Mitchell.
I'm going to see Lamar.
Break down the pigskin pick.
I'll see him tomorrow.
Are you going to Vegas?
Yes, I'm heading to Vegas tomorrow.
Wow.
Yes,
I wanted
sir.
To go to Vegas, right? You know I said I'm taking a couple days off next week.
Right.
I wanted to go there for a long weekend. The wife shut it down.
She doesn't want to go? What, yeah, are you I guys mean, going anywhere?
Flying. Just taking them. We probably drive, you know, go somewhere
drive
we
somewhere.
Can drive. Yeah, but she didn't
somewhere
wanna.
With a hot tub and some
yes.
good food, right?
Yes.
I remember those romantic weekends when I was married. Those were
yes,
fun.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
It was good times, man. Yeah.
I'm a little moist
look,
right now.
Look, man. All right, let's get back to the sports. All right, Rob, look, let's call it like it is. We led off yesterday's show talking about Clayton Kershaw. Alex Rodriguez, who is darn near the face of baseball, even though
let
he's
me
not
tell you
playing
something.
Anymore.
And he's a hell of a baseball
he's great.
Analyst. He
His
knows the game, Chris,
yes,
is
yes.
top-notch.
No doubt.
Anybody who knocks A... You don't have to like A-Rod, but if you sit there and tell me you've listened to his commentary and you don't think he's one of the best guys talking about the game, then you're just being biased.
You know
really
what I
good.
Think, Rob? He is. He remind. And now he's obviously a different personality, a different history in the game, all
right.
that. But it's kind of like, correct me if you think I'm way off, it's kind of like Joe Morgan. like, who died, what, earlier this week or last week, unfortunately, at 77. But, I mean, Joe Morgan, when you listen to him, you just could – you just knew how much knowledge he had of the game, right? It just oozed out of him. And that's what I mean with A-Rod. It's not – you got a Charles Barkley, you know, on the show they got Big Poppy, you know, that do it more with their personality, right, and who they were as a player. And obviously A-Rod was great.
Right.
But I mean, and Morgan. But they wow you with their knowledge of the game, in my opinion. Is that off?
I don't think that's off. Because he says stuff, and he called it yesterday. There were two things we talked about, Chris, I want to say before we get to Clayton Kershaw. And we brought it up on the show as well. Dodgers scored too many runs. Remember we said when
you
you're a baseball team, you want to save some runs for the next day. You just do. Because it has a way of evening itself out. And the Dodgers only had, what did they have? Three hits.
One run. Yep. 15.
They wind up with two runs.
Yeah. Three hits, two runs. Yeah, no, you're right. It was like, I don't know why.
It's weird.
I don't know how, but you're right. They had nothing. So... And Kershaw, to his – look, I can't say to his credit, but I got to say this. For five innings, he was fine. For five innings, he was fine. One-run ball, all right? I mean,
right. Which was a home run. Anybody could do that, right?
The box score is going to say he only pitched five, right, because he didn't get anybody out in the sixth. But really, he pitched six innings. And so for the first five full innings, he was good. It was 1-1. And then in the sixth, they got to him. They got to him. He was credited with four runs, didn't finish the inning, seven hits. So he ended the night, Rob, with an ERA of 7.20. And here's what right. The wheels fell off. I'm going to paint the picture. The numbers show, Rob, that Clayton Kershaw gets – we know he's not the same pitcher in the post. He's half the pitcher in the postseason that he is in the regular season, where he's an all-time great.
His regular season stats are off the chart.
They're up there with anybody. I mean, right. Some people – who I heard somebody say they thought he was the best pitcher of the last 50 years, which maybe you can argue that for the regular season, but there's no way – right? When you take everything in totality, there is absolutely no way that you could call him the best pitcher.
Not when your ERA jumps up two runs. Right. I mean, you go from 2.43, right, to 4-something. So your ERA jumps two runs a game. That's two runs is tremendous.
And here's the thing, Rob. When you look at the numbers, he gets worse as the postseason goes on.
Right.
And wild card games, I mean, it's only one game, but he was great. 1-0. In the division series, 6-4, 4.02 ERA. Okay, that ain't great, but
now comes
at least you're 6-4.
League championship series, where is he?
3-6.
Wow.
4.84 ERA. You think that's bad?
And the World Series?
Now, he's only 1-2, you know, but his ERA is 5.4.
Yeah, just terrible numbers for a guy of that caliber.
Absolutely. And Rob,
I think he's done damage to his name, Chris.
He has. I really do.
Because
I mean,
Dodgers,
he's still going to be a Hall of Famer and all that. But no, he's done damage.
But as far as how people feel about him, that's what I'm saying. Like if the Dodgers get eliminated tonight, they're down 3-1, right? If they get eliminated, people will go the Clayton Kershaw era of the Dodgers will have been for naught. They won 8 straight National League West, Chris.
Yep.
It'll be for naught.
Absolutely. No, you're right. And it definitely hurts him because, again, you can't put him in the best pitcher of the last 50 years argument. Honestly, Rob, you can't put him in the best pitcher of his era. Now, one of them – But he's not. He can't go down as the best pitcher of his era.
But this is what we always talk about when we start talking about the greatest of an era, greatest of nitpicking. You got to go through everything, Chris. You can't say, "Oh, this guy was the most dominant. He won 3 Cy Youngs. His earned run average is WAR." No, the playoffs count too. And when you add it all together, and you want to nitpick and look at everything, you're right. He can't be in that conversation. Because it's been miserable. It would be one thing, Chris, if his ERA was the same and he had some bad luck and he didn't win the game. You know what I mean? Like the bullpen
today,
gave it up.
People know enough to not just judge you by your win-loss.
By your wins. But your WAR and your ERA, and then you go, he's pitched the same. They just can't. They don't get runs, or the bullpen gives it up, or he's had some tough luck. That is not the case. They needed him to pitch a gem yesterday to get back in that series. There's a huge difference between 2-2 and 3-1.
No question. There is. And Rob, I think it has to come down. I think there's only one of two choices as to why this happens to Kershaw. One choice is that the pressure gets to him. It just climbs. Regular season, he's a little worse in the wild card. Well, not, you know, let's dismiss the wild card. He's a little worse in the National Division Series. He's a little worse in the Championship Series. Then a little worse in the World Series. Like, as the pressure mounts, he doesn't pitch as well. So the pressure either gets to him, or the other one is that he's not as good as we thought or think. Meaning, in the regular season, you're not facing the same level of competition that you face in the playoffs. Obviously, that goes without saying. And in the playoffs, you are facing the best teams.
There's no doubt about it.
Every time out, right? It's a great team every time out. And that's why we always say, Rob, if you just in baseball, any sport, but we're talking baseball. If you just perform at the same level in the playoffs as you do in the regular season, you're a hero, right?
No doubt.
If you hit 315 in the regular season and your playoffs is 315, then you're great because the pressure's more, the competition's better, and you still do your thing.
And see,
but
Chris,
that's the difference.
In baseball especially, and the point you're making is a good one, when you're playing in the regular season, you're beating up a lot of third and fourth and fifth starters, Chris, because the season's long. So you have to pitch guys who aren't really that good. They're a fourth starter, a fifth starter, somebody out of the bullpen. So your numbers are bolstered. When you get to the playoffs, you're only seeing the number one, two, and three starters.
Right.
Some guys who aren't that good don't get the pitch. They shorten everything. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's why great hitters struggle in the playoffs. There are no guys throwing. There aren't that many guys throwing meatballs like they do in a regular season when you got all these games to play. So a lot of guys struggle. It's a lot because the competition is way better in the postseason.
Yeah. Did you have I think it's the pressure. I don't want to say he's not as good. If you had to pick one of those two. I'm not going to say he's not as good. Obviously, he's phenomenal.
I'm
going
to say
season.
It's the pressure of the stage.
Yeah.
It just has to be. Because it can't be physically. He can't lose what he has during the regular. It doesn't make any sense. So some guys respond to it, Chris. It's like people in school who are bad test takers.
Right.
They're smart in class. They do all the work. And they get there and they put the test down in front of them. And then they just freak out.
Yep.
And they fail. Right?
Yeah, even though they know the info.
Even though they know the info and they second guess themselves, they question it. We've seen this where people do well and then they're not good test takers.
All right, we're going to get the info on Lomachenko versus Lopez right now from our man Showtime Sean Porter. He's going to break it up, but first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This is what I was talking about, Rob. Unlimited touch. This is the A side of that B side that Rob play, or that Alex played, DJ Alex Tyshirt. I had to school him a little bit, but he's the man. He's still the man. But yes, I hear music in the streets. All right, we're the Odd Couple. coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's time now. I can't wait to see this fight, and I can't wait to hear it broken down by our next guest. He's a two-time welterweight boxing champion. He has the podcast, the host of the Porter Way podcast. You know him. You've seen him get down in the ring. Showtime Sean Porter. Sean, welcome to the Odd Couple, brother.
I'm over here cheesing, man. I didn't know y'all knew about the podcast.
Yo, man, come on, bro. Come on. We know what you're doing. We keep
talking. How's it going?
Listen, everything is great, man, and it's about to get even greater for the sport of boxing tomorrow.
Man, you ain't lying. Now, okay, let's get right to it.
Hit people who don't know. Chris is excited. You're excited. But a lot of people don't know about this fight. Tell me why I should be interested in watching it.
As a casual fan, why should they be into this?
Listen, when people watch boxing, they want to see excitement. They want to see a back-and-forth match. They want to see a competition. They don't want to see a one-sided fight where one guy is completely outskilled and left in the dust from the beginning of the fight to the end of the fight. And that's what you got in this fight right here. A lot of us true fight people call it a pick'em fight. And what a pick'em fight is, you look to your left, you look to your right, you close your eyes, and you just point. That's how close this fight is. It's one of those fights where you could just close your eyes, and when you open them, and whoever you're pointing at, they very well could be the winner.
Tell us about the styles. We know the cliche. That's true. Styles make fights. Tell us about each fighter's style and what type of fight you could see these styles making up for.
And that's why this fight is the perfect fight for TV, the perfect fight for boxing, the perfect fight for the world. We'll start with Vasily Lomachenko, the champion or the guy in the world of boxing. He's quick with both his hands and his feet. He's fast with both his hands and his feet. He makes guys uncomfortable because he gets up close to them, and he fights in a range where most guys don't like to fight at, which is basically within arm's distance. A lot of guys like to be a little bit further out and be able to work their way in. Vasily will work right there where you're at, and then he'll step off to the side and continue to work. And his hand speed just makes it very, very uncomfortable for a lot of guys in the ring. And then you got a young guy, Teofimo Lopez, who's got nothing to lose in this fight, which works to his advantage because he's going to take some chances that nobody that Vasily Lomachenko has fought is willing to take. Not only that, he's got speed as well and a lot of power for a young 23-year-old. So this fight is not just speed versus power. It's technique versus energy. It's quickness versus strength. I mean, it's youth versus age. Like, it's just up and down. It's an amazing fight.
Because Lomachenko's 32 and Lopez is 23. Yeah.
But my question, though, is there a potential for a knockout here, or does this go to distance? What kind of fight are we expecting?
Now, I'm expecting it to go the distance. A lot of people were expecting.
So that tells me who I think I know who you picking then.
Then you got to pick the veteran.
Well, let me say this. A lot of people think that the way Teofimo Lopez wins this fight is by knockout. And we've seen him do some very explosive things in the ring. And my whole thing with Lopez's power, believe in his power, but is that power going to show up against this level? And this is the top of the level right here. This is the top of the top, and Lopez has worked his way to get there, and now he's just got one more chance right here to prove it.
Now, Comey obviously was a high-level, you know, fighter as well, and Lopez knocked him out in two. I know he's not Lomo, but is it that – it's just that huge of a gap between even a Richard Comey and what Lomachenko brings?
Yeah, I believe it is. And not just that, but also – And not just that, but the fact that Lopez is so explosive. He's the kind of fighter that not only is he fast, but when he hits you, you feel everything. You feel all of the strength and power that he has. And someone like Cormier, who I don't think necessarily was ready for everything that Lopez had. I think he may have even underestimated Lopez and was surprised and shook very early in the fight. And I think the same thing could happen with Lomachenko. I think Lomachenko may say, like, hey, this kid was an Olympian. I won two gold medals in two different divisions. This dude has not been pro as long as I've been pro, and he hasn't fought who I fought. He may feel that this kid isn't ready, and Teofimo Lopez and may very well underestimate him.
Now this fight isn't pay-per-view. This fight isn't pay-per-view. What does that say about this for boxing?
I mean, it's great for boxing when you have an opportunity for the general public to see a fight of this magnitude. It will make fans of a lot of people who aren't true boxing fans. Not only that, I think this is the type of fight that will make a lot of people follow the sport in anticipation for another night like this.
You know what, Chris? Let me just follow up on this. Chris, you remember this when we were younger. We used to watch ABC Wide World of Sports and saw Muhammad Ali fight at 12:30 in the afternoon on free television. You know what I mean? Like, you used
Which
to
was
see
great for boxing.
Yes.
I mean, when you look at the landscape of boxing right now, you have PBC who's on Fox, and they still do some things on Showtime, and then you have Top Rank who's on ESPN now, and then even Golden Boy, they do a lot of DAZN, but they also are trying to follow things on ESPN as well. I think right now the landscape of boxing is saying, okay, in order for this sport to get back to the way it used to be, everything's got to go back to the way that it used to be, including network televised boxing. And I think it's great for the sport. And I think the fighters, they're still going to make the money that they want to make. And I think this is the move that's necessary for boxing. And I think this is the only move that ensures everybody's happy at the end of the day.
Sean, I got to ask you this question. This reminds me of the approach of the fighters. Reminds me of Conor McGregor. I know it's MMA, but versus Khabib. Khabib, the quiet champion, wasn't saying much, but was seething inside. McGregor doing all that bragging, talking, I'm going to do this, you know, all that. It's the same thing here. Lopez being like McGregor, Khabib being like Lomachenko. Am I off on that, or do you see that similar approach? And then finally, give us who you got, who you picking.
Well, you know what? I'll say this about the approach to the fight. I think that Teofimo Lopez is a fighter that loves to have fun. He knows that he can have fun with both his abilities as well as his mouth. I think he enjoys it. I don't think he's like McGregor in the sense that he's kind of he hasn't allowed the sport and the accolades of the sport to take control of his life and it hasn't redirected his goals. Lopez's goals are still to become an amazing fighter, an amazing champion. And I really do think that even though he is an IBF champion, it's going to start with him beating Vasily Lomachenko, because if he does that, he's going to do something that nobody in this world really even expected him to do. And that includes me. I'm picking Vasily Lomachenko. I just feel that, you know, everything makes sense for Lomachenko to win this fight. I don't think that, you know, when I look at the numbers and when I just take a look at the fight up and down, there's really nothing that's convinced me that Lopez is going to win this fight. But I'll tell you guys, I'm a fan of both guys, but I'm a very big fan of Lopez just because of who he is outside of the ring as well as inside of the ring. So I'm telling you guys to look forward to a great night tomorrow night.
This is our man Showtime, Sean Porter, two-time welterweight champ. Check out his podcast, The Porter Way Podcast. Thanks, Sean, man. Great job.
Yep. Appreciate y'all.
Yep.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part is figuring out which way is easier. You know who it is when you hear the funky sounds. It is the man with the plan, the MGM Grand. Race and sports book director Lamar Mitchell. What's up, brother?
What's up, fellas? What's up? How you guys doing?
What's happening? Hey, I look back at one of the texts you sent me. It's not my birthday this weekend. It's in January. But
My bad.
No. All good. But I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Wait,
and I can't
wait. That means it was Chris's birthday, right?
Mine is Wednesday.
Yes.
Well, happy early birthday.
October 28th. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
No doubt. And I look forward to getting to the MGM Grand and hanging out.
Yeah, most definitely.
All right, Sean. I'm sorry, Lamar. Before we get into the NFL. I got to ask you about Saturday's big fight, Vasily Lomachenko versus Teofimo Lopez. Oh, my gosh, it's going to be great.
You're hot, too, for it. Everybody, yes. I don't know this.
It's at the MGM Grand.
Yes.
Because they're lightweights, Rob. You know, the lower weights generally don't get
as much
really,
buzz. Okay.
Yeah, outside of, like, welterweights generally the lowest. Maybe some special lightweights, and these dudes are special. So, you know, this will be big. But anyway, what kind of action? You know, you heard Rob say he didn't know about it. Are you getting a lot of action on the fight? What's the buzz like around town and all that?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard with the fight, you know, with no fans. But the fans are coming in after the weigh-in, and we're seeing typically what we would see on a typical fight weekend on Friday night. People are coming in. They're trying to bet the props. They're trying to figure out who's the better fighter based upon the odds. So it's about as good as we can expect for these circumstances for a fight of this magnitude. But I'm really looking forward to watching this fight tomorrow night.
All right, let's get to the NFL. The game of the week, of course, the Packers at the Bucs. And Tampa opened up as a 3-point home favorite, but the line has since shifted to the Packers -1. Was that sharp money that caused the line to move, or was that Joe Public? What was that?
Well, that was a little bit of both. We are now sitting at Packers, like you said, Packers -1. We took some Buck sharp money at Packers -2. So it did go all the way around from a lot of sharps and a lot of Joes, because unquestionably all the Joes are on the Packers, all the Joes. I mean, money, even tickets is about 5-1 ratio with the Joes on the Packers.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, Chris
Lamar
thinks the Packers are going to win too.
Yeah, the big story last week was obviously the injury to Dak Prescott. So I was a little surprised to see the Cowboys still opened up as 3-point favorites this Sunday against the Cardinals. What would the spread have been if the Cowboys still had Dak? And are you seeing a lot more money on the Cardinals now that he's gone?
Well, believe it or not, the money is about even right now. The ticket count is Cardinals about 3-1. But if Dak had been in there, Cowboys would have been at least a 6-point favorite, at least, to open up at home at the Jerry World.
Yeah, that's interesting. I might have to put some money down on the Cardinals. Scoring has been up.
I got a good source that gave me the Dolphins money line last week. He said this is his play, Cowboys, this week.
Really? So really?
Yeah, Cowboys. He gave me Dolphins money line. I didn't believe him, but he said he gave me all the reasons, and you saw what the Dolphins did.
All right. Scoring has been up almost 16% through the first month of the season, and nobody can stop anybody. And yet, I'm looking at the board, and I see Washington versus the Giants opened up at 44.5. Now it's down to 43. And do you expect it to drop any more? And because of it, do you have to imagine the pros would pounce all over that?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those matchups where you have two really bad teams, and typically with two really bad teams, you would see the over being the play here. But in this situation, I mean, Washington's front line defense, their defensive line, isn't really as bad as the team is. So I could see this going under. And, yeah, the Joes will probably bet it over, and the Sharps will bet it under.
All right, Lamar, outside of the Packers-Bucks, I'm really excited about Cleveland-Pittsburgh. Now, the Steelers,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's going to be a great one. Steelers favored by 3.5. They're coming off a bye. The defense is lights out. Baker Mayfield's got bad ribs, and OBJ might not even play.
Right.
I'm hoping for a good game, but are you seeing a lot of action on the Steelers in this one?
You know, it's all Steelers all day.
Wow.
All Steelers all the time. I mean, money's coming in on the Steelers. The tickets are coming in on the Steelers. The Joes, all on the Steelers.
Interesting.
Everybody's on the Steelers.
I believe that because people looking, and I don't think that they think Cleveland is a 5-1 team. You know,
not yet. They don't.
Right.
Not yet.
Not yet. They'd have to win that game to convince people. All right. I don't know if it's true, but I read this week that the Jets are 0-5, I should say, against the spread. And this week they're 9.5-point underdogs in Miami. Now I know the Jets are bad, and the Dolphins did look good last week against the 49ers. But do the bettors really think the Dolphins are that much better than the Jets, 9.5?
right now, it's a lightly contested matchup. The money is pretty much, believe it or not, even on this game, even though that's a big number. I mean, ticket count is even on this game, but money is even. So with the limited action we're seeing right now, the bettors aren't really either way betting the Dolphins more than they're betting the Jets. It's just, like I say, even. But as my Dolphin bettor told me before, he said, Dolphins win this game, and the Bills lose that game, they're in first place.
Wow.
All that right, Lamar, great stuff. Have fun hanging out with Rob this weekend.
Absolutely.
That's right. I can't wait. I could be down there with you guys.
Hey, wait till I bring you some Odd Couple swag, man. You won't believe what I got for you.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Yes.
All right, brother. That's our man, Lamar Mitchell, MGM Grand Director of Race and Sports. See you, buddy. All right. There's more Odd Couple coming your way. You know what it's time for every Friday, last segment. And guess who's been on a run? It ain't Rob Parker. It's me. The Pigskin Pickoff is next. Rob, you know I won this week. I've won two of the last 3 weeks against you. Just letting you know. I'm coming hard, all right? Yeah, you hear that music? You hear that music in the streets? When you hear the funky beats, I get down!
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, let's get right to it. We're The Odd Couple coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's the NFL Pigskin Pickoff.
You ready to retire? The Odd Couple is going to make you rich.
Gambling, vice, corruption.
It's their Pigskin Pickoff.
Yes, sir, it is the Pigskin Pickoff, the segment where the Odd Couple helps you make money picking NFL games against the spread. And let's just say recently, you should be fading these guys. It's not going too well for Chris and Rob.
Struggling, but it's going better for me.
Three and two last week. Yeah, right. I mean, anything's better than – you're still below 500, Chris.
Struggling.
Barely. What am I, 12 and 13?
No, you're 11 and 14.
Oof. Oh. And what's my
Rob is 14 and 11, which sounds until you realize that he was
9 and 1. I'm 12.
How are you 12? I have your picks right here.
2-3 the first week, 3-2 the second
week. Come on, we don't have time for that, Chris. He's keeping track of it.
We got time.
What we don't have time.
You robbing me, Rob G.
Nah, come on, Rob G, let's go.
I was 3-2 this week, right?
Yes, you were 1-4 the previous week.
Yes,
2-3.
1-4.
No, we'll go over that after the show.
Okay. Because
I think you robbing me.
All right,
we're
picking NFL games against the spread. We're going to get it started here. Rob, I know it's been a rough few weeks, but you are still leading, so you get the first crack at it. Talking about it with Lamar. Washington at the Giants. Giants 3-point home favorites in this one. Who you like in this one, Rob?
Man, I'm going to bet the under in Vegas on this, but as far as who's going to win, the Giants are having won a game. I'm going to pick the Giants to win like 12-9, something like that.
I do think the Giants have not been as bad as the Jets, in my view. Both teams 0-5 in New York.
And they haven't won a game, right.
Yeah, and they played – look, I guess Dallas is just that bad, but obviously they played well enough to win in Dallas against Dallas. They could have won that game last week. Their offense put up a ton of 34 points.
34. Yeah.
Yep. Washington didn't look great after the QB move. I am going with the Jets on this. The Giants. Yep, the Giants.
That's bold strategy, guys. Both picking a winless team to cover the spread.
Yep.
Game number two. This is one of the big games of the weekend. Baker Mayfield and the Browns traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Steelers 3.5-point home favorites. Chris, you liking this one?
I like Pittsburgh to win. But I do – look, this is a grudge match. Cleveland is talking about we doing this for Miles Garrett. I know they've run their mouth before and it didn't work out well. But, you know, I think they're a better team than they were last year. I think Cleveland covers. I think Pittsburgh wins, but I'm taking Cleveland in the points.
I think the Steelers win and they cover. I give up 3.5. I just don't believe the Browns are 5-1 team. Not yet. So I think they go there, get their comeuppance, and realize they're not there yet.
And just like our guy Lamar Mitchell said, this one could get out of hand quickly. You know, just let it out there.
Yep.
Pigskin Pickoff, Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Game number 3, Rob Parker's Detroit Lions, 3-point road favorites against the Jags.
Are you ready?
Who you got, Rob?
I'm taking the Lions. Bet the house on the Detroit Lions to get a win on the road.
Wow.
I'm going with the Lions.
I ain't paying for that. Man,
I'm going. This is obviously two horrific teams. Here's honestly what led me to go with Jacksonville was that, Rob, I don't think the Lions, now maybe I'm wrong, I don't think they like their coach. And I think they know he could be on the firing line soon. And I just think, I don't think they're going to tank. They're not going to lose to get rid of him. Right. You know what I'm saying? But I think that that does take a little something away from you when you don't believe in your coach. So I'm going with Jacksonville.
All right, we move on. Game number 4, the game of the weekend. Game of the weekend. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, 1-point road favorites to take on Tom Brady and the Bucks in Tampa. Chris, who do you like in this one?
I like Green Bay. You know, my pick for the Super Bowl was Tampa Bay, and I'm sticking, obviously, with that pick. I feel good about it, but I think they're a work in progress. And I think toward the end of the year is when they're going to be better and hit their stride. Right now, we all know how well Green Bay is playing. I'm picking the Packers.
Yeah, I'm going with the Packers. It's hard not to pick them. I mean, you could say it's hard. It's on the road or whatever. But the way they're playing, he gets Devontae Adams back. That should bolster them. And, you know, the Bucks just, after that touchdown in the first quarter, didn't look right. And they got some discipline issues that I still, until they show me and work those out, Chris, I'm not buying into them.
Packers 4-0 against the spread this season. Last game that we're picking, we usually don't do Monday night games, but this will make an exception. Dak Prescott's Cowboys, 1.5-point home underdogs without Dak. Andy Dalton starting in his place against the Cardinals. Rob, what do you like in this one?
I'm going to take the Cowboys. And Lamar convinced me of that. I'm just going to go against you. Look at this. You go, the Cardinals could win, you know, and the Cowboys don't have Dak. And we heard Tony Dungy, and who else do we have on, Chris, earlier? Bucky Brooks about getting back to making the feature, Ezekiel Elliott, the featured player in the offense. I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Yeah, man. I don't know how many times I bet on the Cowboys and been disappointed. You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, they let me down week after week after week. I'm going with Arizona.
Wow.
That defense, Rob, is
atrocious. Is this Martin Weiss on the other line?
Weiss? How bad. What do you think Kyler Murray is going to do to that defense?
I don't know.
He's going to have a field day. And, I'm going with Arizona. So this will be a big week. We got, what, three differences? Three. Yep. So this will be a big week. All right, everybody have a great weekend. It's the Odd Couple. Peace.